The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Jake Kale provides simple strategies based on powerful biblical principles that will help you stay free from bondage to sin and demonic oppression.
The purpose of deliverance is so that we can actually grow in intimacy with Him, like hear His voice, know His word, fulfill our purpose, because those chains, those demonic influences were holding us back. Once you get set free, that's just like actually a first step. Then we pursue Him more, then we know Him more, then we walk in obedience to Him more, then we fulfill our purpose more.
To see the power of deception damaging our country greatly. And we know who the deceiver is. The father of lies is Satan. But most people don't realize that he has demonic agents and servants. A third of the angels of heaven fell with him in total rebellion against God. And they are deceiving people. Christians oftentimes don't believe that demonic activity bothers us, but in fact they do. I've got a guest today that's written a tremendous book called Setting Captives Free, Jake Kale. He was with us yesterday. I hope you'll go back and watch that. But Jake, I want you to talk about the fact that demons do affect Christians. They attack them. They deceive them. And it's like they've been taught as Christians not to even believe that there's any activity there. But Satan is only one place at a time. Very few people ever encounter or meet him head on, but continually meet his agents who are deceiving spirits. Would you say they have succeeded in deceiving a lot of God's family?
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks again, James and Betty, for having me. It's great to be back here. And that's such a great question, because even the question of, you know, can a Christian need deliverance from a demon is such a controversial question. There's lots of theological debates over it and arguments over it. And I really think it's based on misunderstandings of what it means to have a demon, misunderstandings of what it means to have demonic influence. People think possession. They think, well, if you're a Christian, you can't be possessed. And of course you can't be possessed, but that doesn't mean there can't be areas of a Christian's life that have come under demonic influence.
You can certainly be oppressed and depressed, and you can be disheartened, discouraged, and deceived.
That's right.
No doubt about it.
Yes. And so many of the struggles that Christians are facing actually are demonic influence. Sometimes it's flesh, but sometimes it's actually demonic spirits. And if we don't deal with that, then the person's not going to be able to walk in the full freedom that Jesus has for them. And so that's why I often call deliverance the missing link. It's a missing link in a person's journey of freedom, healing, sanctification, you know, holiness, walking in transformation, because God wants us to be transformed. But if we are under some kind of demonic influence, maybe it's heaviness, maybe it's oppression, maybe it's fear, maybe it's lust or, you know, things like that, lies we believed, then we cannot fulfill the calling God has for us. So yes, deliverance is for believers. It's part of what Jesus came to pay the price for when he died on the cross.
What do you want people to hear today who are listening? Do they need to wonder if I'm being bothered by demons, or can they just know in fact they are? You know, I said yesterday that I heard from Milton Green, who prayed deliverance for me, and it was a miracle, that he said, many of your thoughts are not your own.
Yeah.
In other words, they didn't originate with you. They were suggestions by the deceiver, the deceiving spirits, to you.
Yep.
And they become tormenting spirits, especially when you believe them, because you're believing the liar, so you're believing the lie.
Yep.
And therefore, you're taken captive by the effect of that.
Yep. Yeah, so one of the keys for people to receive deliverance is discernment. Like, how do you know whether something you're dealing with is a demonic spirit versus flesh? And so I like to talk about discernment like a light switch. It's like if you walk downstairs into a basement, you flip the light switch on, and then all of a sudden you can see there's a rodent, there's a pest, there's something in your house that shouldn't be there. It was already there, but then you turn the light on, now you can see it, now you can deal with it. So we need to actually be able to discern when something is demonic. And that can happen in multiple ways. Sometimes the Holy Spirit might show us through the gift of discerning of spirits, or through Him speaking to us or showing another person. Sometimes people discern because something manifests, like they have a demonic manifestation. Maybe somebody's praying for them, and all of a sudden something comes to the surface in a more outward way, and they recognize, oh, wow, this is actually a demonic spirit. But sometimes it's more just, I call natural discernment, when you kind of put pieces together. Like, for instance, if a person really wants to be free in an area of their life, but they're not able to get freedom. And maybe there's been certain doors in their past that were opened up to the enemy, maybe through sin issues, maybe through unforgiveness issues. Maybe they dabbled in spiritual occult type things in their past, so they opened up these doors. And you can kind of—
I think many doors are being opened online now.
Absolutely.
I think pornography is being fed by online.
Absolutely.
And I think those visual images and those acts that are there, they literally open the door for the deceiving spirit to come in and get a grip on people.
Absolutely.
On their mind, on their appetite.
Yep.
And literally, it'll be a torment because they're always putting things before you to either reach out more that you can't have or shouldn't have. Yep. But they become tormented. They become a controlling spirit.
Right.
And those are evil spirits. Those are deceivers.
And the Bible calls them unclean spirits. And so a lot of times things related to uncleanness, immorality, like you said, pornography. I've seen many people that were struggling with some sort of a addiction to pornography or sexual sin. And they were trying to repent. They were trying to read the word. But then they received deliverance. And that was that missing link, something that was missing. And when that unclean spirit got cast out, then they were able to choose freedom. They were able to walk in that freedom.
Don't you think sometimes we allow those spirits to come in too because we think maybe something that's not so bad, you know? Or we entertain a thought that shouldn't be there. We should just not say, go away. I won't allow you to take up my time, my thoughts that way. But sometimes it doesn't seem so bad. So that's okay.
Yeah, we can minimize.
And that's his way of weaving himself into our heart.
Yeah, we can minimize something, or we can think maybe something's normal. I've prayed for people that got delivered from called a spirit of death. Mm-hmm. And they were being tormented in their mind either they were going to die or a loved one was going to die, a spouse was going, and they began to entertain these thoughts and they began to become convinced that their spouse was going to die. And over time, it became more and more tormenting and had a grip on them, but they didn't even think it was demonic. And then they were in a service and the Lord moved and they got delivered from the spirit of death. All of a sudden, their mind was clear.
Demonic deception leads to torment.
Yes, it does.
No question about it. It's a weight. And you can oftentimes see it, and you don't want to go up and tell somebody you got a demon. You know, Milton Green said, I saw torment at you, and I prayed for you for years. He said, I thought you were one of the most tormented people that I'd ever seen. And he, in fact, was right, because I was having these thoughts thrown at me from every side, every angle. I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to talk about demons. You know, Christians can't have demons. And, a demon can't possess a Christian, but he can certainly attack a Christian. He can deceive a Christian. He can defeat a Christian. And I'm telling you, he can make your life miserable, and that's what he does. But you can be set free. What do you say to somebody to help them know there is a path out? And what do you do when you're dealing with somebody who knows that they have a spirit that has captured them or is deceiving them, or you know it? Yeah. How do you deal with them?
Yeah, so I often teach about three keys for deliverance. The first one we talked about, which is the discernment. Mm-hmm. The second one is to close the door on the enemy. And then the third one is to use our authority and actually cast out the demon. And so James 4:7, it says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee. And so that's really a simple version of a prayer for deliverance. So closing the door looks like maybe repentance. If a person has sin issues, it's repentance. If it's unforgiveness in their heart, then I would lead them through forgiving people that have hurt them or they have bitterness against. If they've been involved in the occult, then I'll lead them through renouncing that spiritual activity. And so that's that step is close the door, submit yourself to God. And then once that person does that, then we go into the resist the devil, which is the actual authority that Jesus has given us as believers to make commands, that we can actually command unclean spirits to go from people, to come out of people, and they have to obey us in Christ. And so I try to keep it simple with those practical steps. Every case is unique, so there's no formula. We always have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit. But those are some basic biblical keys that you can apply to many situations.
A lot of times the enemy will try to tell you it's not simple.
Right.
You know, and God says, I'm right here. It's simple.
Yep.
Just trust me, confess to me, and I will forgive you.
Yes.
And I will teach you and show you how to walk in the right way. But the enemy wants you to make you think it's complex.
Yes.
There's no way out of this.
Yes. And it's so important
You're
to
condemned,
remember.
You know?
Yep, he does. Yeah. And that's how he operates. And it's just so important to remember that we're actually fighting from a position of victory.
Yes.
Because Jesus already paid the price.
That's right.
It's part of what he purchased on the cross. That's why he shed his blood. And so we are actually fighting from that place of victory in Christ.
You don't beg the demon to leave, you tell him to leave.
That's right.
You live as an overcomer. Mm-hmm. You live as more than a conqueror. You can walk over the enemy like dust, like a scorpion, like a spider, crush him. That's what he wants us to do. The thing about it is, how do you help people understand, okay, if I've broken the power of the enemy in this area of deception and defeat, what do I do to stay free? What's the best thing I can do?
Yes, that's a great question, because once we're set free, we want to get established in that place of freedom. And so a couple key points there. One is renewing our minds through the Word of God.
Yes.
Because we can get delivered from something, but now we need to have our mind renewed. And that happens as we replace those lies with the truth. And as we spend time in the Word, meditating on the Word, we spend time with God and just get filled up by His Spirit. That's really key. And then we're actually ready to resist the devil. If that demon tries to come back and knock on the door, we actually recognize it right away and we just say, nope, we resist that. And the more we do that, the more established we get in that place of freedom. And then we can actually walk in that full victory.
If people would realize that you can have a conversation with God, or you talk to God, train yourself to listen, because He loves to talk to people who love to hear His Word, hear His voice, know His mind, know His will. And so pray that way. But also, you renew your mind when you're reading a love letter from God, mm-hmm. when you realize God wrote this to me. He didn't just write it to the New Testament disciples and the New Testament Christians and people through the ages. He has written a letter to me.
Yeah.
And if you'll take it that way, as something personal, it becomes almost conversational when you're reading the Word. That is renewing the mind.
Absolutely.
Our mind is actually changed by the Word of God.
Absolutely.
The Word also opens our ears so that we can hear Him. And hearing comes by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing.
Yes.
Hearing comes by the Word. And hearing Him gives us faith, knowing it's Him.
That's right.
So this whole fellowship, to me, this is what it is to walk as an overcomer, walking over the enemy.
Yep.
And so when somebody asks the question, what do we do? Are those good suggestions?
Absolutely. And it's I think it's great to also understand that deliverance, it's not meant to be an end in itself. It's actually meant to be a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually meant to be like a springboard. Like, the purpose of deliverance is to know God more. The purpose of deliverance is so we can actually grow in intimacy with Him, like hear His voice, know His Word, fulfill our purpose, because those chains, those demonic influences were holding us back. Once you get set free, that's just like actually a first step. Then we pursue Him more. Then we know Him more. Then we walk in obedience to Him more. Then we fulfill our purpose more. And so if we can keep that in mind, it'll help us on a good track.
And I think God knows He is good with new beginnings in our life.
You
know? And His Word, I used to just read it and think, oh, I don't understand it. I just don't get it. But when He set me free from the fear and the things that were distracting me and blocking me from hearing Him, His Word became fresh and new to me. And I find it so amazing that when I am going through a struggle maybe or really something heavy on my heart, I can go to His Word and He's right where we are.
Yes.
He takes us right to where we need to be in His Word, and it speaks to me. And I find that so much fun in life.
Yes. Amazing.
You know, I just sit here amazed because she said, I can't talk on television. I can't do that. She's the greatest flow of love and life of anybody that ever comes on the show. All our guests say that. Everybody does. I'm so proud of Him and you and you and Him. It's just beautiful to watch. You know, I want to ask you a question because you cover so many bases here. Can you give us a couple of examples of Christians being set free that you think are beautiful, amazing stories?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There was a guy that I prayed for once at a men's retreat, and he had struggled with sexual sin, pornography for over 10 years. And it was just a cycle on and off, could not seem to get free. And I prayed for the whole group. And when I laid hands on him, he felt something leaving him. He felt unclean spirits coming out of him. And ever since that time, he was able to walk in freedom, victory over that area. There was a young woman I prayed for that she had struggled with anxiety, depression for many years, gone to doctors and hospitals, and she attempted suicide and all this. I prayed for her once at a ministry school setting, and God just met with her God healed her heart, the brokenness in her heart. God delivered her from a spirit of heaviness and oppression. And her life was radically transformed. She's now leading missions schools to different nations and going different places. I've seen people set free from, you know, eating disorders, addictions, all types of mental, you know, health problems. And then just to watch them stay in that place of freedom, grow in their relationship with God, and then God uses them to set other people free. It's amazing to watch.
You know what I'm impressed to do? And I did this, Jake, I don't know whether you've done it, but I would have 10, 15,000 people, and I would be talking about deliverance and how you could be set free. And I would ask if you want to be set free. It was almost dangerous if you had a balcony, because I had made freedom appear so realistic and so opportunistic, in other words, it can happen, mm-hmm. that they would almost jump out of the balcony.
Wow.
Because they wanted, I said, I want you to come, and I'm going to pray for you to be set free. And I mean, it would be like a stampede. And they would come, and what I would do is I would say, now I want you to just fix your mind, and I want you to be in harmony as I pray. And I'm going to command the spirits to leave. And when I command a spirit to go, that you know has a grip, tell it to go, just like that. You say, go. And I would start praying. Mm-hmm. And as I would call these spirits out, sometimes people would let out a wail,
yeah.
just like a, oh, God. And then sometimes people would just fall, mm-hmm. and they would cry out to God because they identified. That spirit had a grip, but they were identifying with what I was saying when I commanded it to go. And it will go. And they did. By the thousands, people were set free. And I know because I've known those people, many of them for the next 20 or 30 years. God did a great work. Father, I want to pray for everybody right now watching. Somehow, they're becoming aware that there's a grip in their life that doesn't belong there, that there is a lie, there is deception prevailing, and it is doing damage. And in the name of Jesus, I command it to loose you. Loose them. Tell it to go. Somehow in your spirit, you've identified it. Tell it to go. Call it out. Lust, unforgiveness, bitterness, hate, anger, gluttony. Tell it to go. I want to say to all of you, if you'd like to have Jake's book, Setting Captives Free, would you just help us feed some hungry children? You just make any gift. We have some other gifts for you, because we always want to give you something that blesses you in addition to what you hear and learn here. Jake, I want to thank you for your life. Thank you for this book. If our viewers would like to have you come to their area, where do they find you?
Yeah,
invite you.
Yeah, best place is my website, which is my name, jakekale.com. It's got all my events on there and resources and, yeah, a way to contact and reach out.
I think you'll be mightily blessed if you do. You know, Betty, we're gonna hear from you on the mission field. And I want to thank you for marching into hell with me for a heavenly cause. Do you realize that for nearly 30 years, we went into the nations that were on fire in war, the most dangerous places on the planet? That's where we went. We were there when they tore the Berlin Wall down. We were standing there. I was the first person to preach in a public area when the wall went down. And we had demonic manifestations out on that open area. You might call it a huge parking lot, like around some kind of a shopping area, but it was something to see. Thank you. And it wouldn't have happened if you hadn't been set free. And she's a blessing. Let's just listen, and then would you please help us feed some starving children and give them life.
When James and I go to the field, and we go to the feeding areas where the children are being fed, and we're even partaking in the process of pouring the nutritional food into the containers for the children to give to me, my heart is either blessed or hurting, because when I look down in that barrel and I see it nearly empty and the children are lined up, still long, long lines, my heart breaks.
Betty, we've just heard a tragic story from Maria. Maria is a grandmother of four who unfortunately lost her youngest grandchild. Oh, I can tell it's very, very sore, huh? I'm sorry. You loved your grandchild, huh? I'm sorry that they couldn't do more to save her life. Betty, I know that as a grandmother, you must know how she must feel. I asked her, what do you pray for? She said, for provision and health for her three remaining grandchildren. Please, Betty, I'm asking you today on her behalf and her grandchildren to appeal to all the grandmothers, the mothers, to the friends of life, to respond and help us honor her prayer.
Honey, too often we watch those little children crawl in an empty barrel and trying to dig. And sometimes the soup would fall on the ground and the kids would get down there and eat the dirt that had a little bit of soup on it. What do you want everybody that's watching to hear from your heart right now?
We haven't been there when that's happened. And you're so delighted when you can fill their bowls up with something to eat. They've waited so long for that. But when you look out and you see a line for as far as you can see and the barrel's almost empty, what do? We have no more to give them unless you help us give. I understand that, grandmother. I feel her heavy heart. I'm a grandmother, now a great-grandmother. My heart heavy is heavy for her. I want her to be able to provide for her grandbabies. She loves her grandbabies. I know how she feels. And if you're a grandmother, you know, or if you're a young mother, you know, or if you're a father, you care about your children. Let's please do what we can do to provide what these parents, these grandparents need to help their loved ones. Thank you so much.
I remember so many years ago, Betty, when you were watching those lines that were too long for what we had in the barrel. And you'd seen the empty barrels, and you would weep all the way back to the hotel and not to wherever we were staying, much of the time in a shipping container or a hut or a tent. And you just had such a heavy, heavy heart. But I remember one day you said to me, James, I'm praying the line to feed the children will always be longer than the line to be fed.
Yes.
Well, in essence, Betty, that's what we're asking for today. We're asking you to make that line long enough for the 350,000 we've already found. We've located them. We know that we can organize them into feeding situations. But the missionaries have to be assured that when they come, they're not going to just be looking at empty barrels. So would you go and get your bank card? Would you make the largest gift you can? Would you use that bank card like a check? If you do use a check, make it to life, but call us and tell us what you're sending. We need to know. If you can give 30, 50, or 100, you feed 3, 5, or 10 children, surely there's a level at which you can give. We have gifts to send you, and if you want Jake Cale's book, Setting Captives Free, we will gladly send it to you because we want everybody set free. Would you free people from starvation? Would you give them life? Would you be an answer to a mother's prayer, a grandmother's? Would you be the miracle they need? Please, get that card, make that gift. You're giving life. And we're going to share Jesus, eternal life with them. Thank you for showing them real love. Thank you.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. Extreme drought and famine putting at risk thousands of lives means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the Daily Life Devotional Calendar. This perpetual calendar has 365 days worth of scriptures and inspirational thoughts to remind you of the rest you can find in God's loving arms. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Light of Life desk lamp. Find comfort and encouragement from Jesus' words in John 8:12, displayed on this standalone acrylic desk lamp, perfect for home or office decor, as a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I want to thank all of you for your help, but I want you to remember, you've seen something. It's been revealed to you, and you want to call, ask that person, but you agree with me, get this spirit out of here. Get it off my back. Get it off of me. And they'll agree with you. Father, set them free. Jake, I pray that God opens doors for you that amaze you. And I pray that your life and your ministry is blessed beyond anything you ever imagined. That's my prayer for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. You're a blessing.
Thank you.
And you're going to bless many, many, many. Thank you so much for being a blessing. All of the people who help us put God's arms around the overlooked, you are touching the least of these, and you are blessing Jesus too. Thank you so much.
Tomorrow on Life Today, Mattie Jackson Smith draws from her experience after the death of her husband to walk with you through the valley of grief.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.